This morning's Old Testament reading is Psalm 121, Assurance of God's Protection. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The New Testament reading this morning is John 3, verses 1 to 17. Nicodemus visits Jesus. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into a mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe them, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." May the Lord provide us an understanding to these words.
Got to make sure I'm on so you guys can hear me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. I know that for me, this was a passage that was talked about in church weekly. It was probably one of the first things that I memorized. And it's always given me great comfort. When Alex and I went on our honeymoon, we went to the Grand Canyon, and we picked up this little plaque on a piece of wood that had John 3:16 on it. We saw it every day, and it never has lost any of its meaning for me. It's a, you know, one of those passages that says it all. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. God, we ask for your great understanding of this passage today. Help us to see it in new light. Help us to understand the renewal and the born-again principle that Jesus is talking about for ourselves today and for everyone around us. This idea that we can be renewed every day in the Spirit, that we can have your love at every moment, not just in the life to come, but in this life here today. We thank you that you so loved us, that you so love us, that you gave Jesus to teach us the way, to help us to understanding. So help us in our understanding today and every day of your word. Bless us today. In your name we pray. Amen. So Nicodemus came to Jesus in the night. This passage tells us that Nicodemus didn't want anyone to know that he was coming to see Jesus. He was a leader of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees weren't too keen on Jesus at the moment. But in great Gospel of John fashion, this light came to Nicodemus, even though it took a while. He had to wonder, how can this be that we have this person of God who has come here and people like him? What is it that Jesus has to teach us that's interesting and new? What is it about Jesus? He had to come and see for himself, and he had to understand for himself. And isn't it sometimes in the night when we're all by ourselves, when we don't have anyone else around to distract us, that we can go to God and ask these questions? How is it that we can understand your love, God? Who is Jesus, and how does he come to teach us these wonderful things about God? Jesus says, unless we are born again, unless we can come to this newness of heart, that we cannot see the kingdom of God. What does that mean to us today? How does that change us? How does that inform our belief in God? Is there really a catch to grace? There really isn't a catch to grace. Jesus is just saying that if we want to see the kingdom of heaven now, that we need to understand this transformation, that the Spirit is there in our hearts waiting for us to recognize that God is with us all the time. That this newness of spirit can happen to us anytime we recognize it. Anytime we wake up in the morning and we ask for that newness, it can be there for us. We can be born anew every day, every moment that we ask for that newness, every day that we recognize that the newness is there for us. This story is the good news. The good news about Jesus being there for us, teaching us the way. When we say Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, these words are the way that help us to understanding and living the kingdom of God right here and now. I think that the message has a wonderful way of putting this. There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews. Late one night, he visited Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we know you're a teacher straight from God. No one could do all the God-pointing and God-revealing acts you do if God weren't in it. And yet, sometimes we need that nighttime to admit to ourselves that God is really God." Jesus said, "You're absolutely right. Take it from me, unless a person is born from above, it is not possible to see what I am pointing to God's kingdom." To God's kingdom right here and now. "How can anyone," said Nicodemus, "be born again who has already grown up? You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk?" Because we don't understand this spiritual renewal, we have these questions that make us question, what is it? How can we be born again? It doesn't make sense. Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, this wind hovering over the water creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into new life, it's possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that, a body you can look at and touch, but the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch, the spirit, and becomes a living spirit. This idea, this hovering spirit, is something that in Jewish thought was all about the creation story. The spirit was there hovering over the deep from the very beginning. This idea of the spirit being within us is nothing new, he's telling Nicodemus. But what's inside of you, this spirit, this God light that you have, is always there. So don't be so surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know well enough how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That is why, with everyone born from above, by the wind of God, the Spirit of God. This wind, this spirit that we can't really understand, but we know it's there. Nicodemus asked, "What do you mean by this? How does this happen?" And Jesus said, "You're a respected teacher of Israel. You don't know these basics? Listen carefully. I'm speaking the sober truth. I speak only what I know by experience. I give witness only to what I have seen with my own eyes. There is nothing secondhand here. No hearsay. Yet instead of facing the evidence and accepting us, you procrastinate with questions. If I tell you things that are plain as the hand before your face and you don't believe me, what use is there in telling you of things you can't see, the things of God? No one has ever gone up into the presence of God except the one who came down from that presence, the Son of Man. In the same way that Moses had lifted up the serpent in the desert, so people could have something to see and believe. It is necessary for the Son of Man to be lifted up, and everybody who looks up to him, trusting and expectant, will gain real eternal life." So Jesus is, of course, talking about himself being hung on the cross later as a something that people could look up at. But he's also trying to get Nicodemus to see that all of this has already been in Scripture, talked about for thousands of years, that the Spirit has always been a part of people's lives, and that that is what dwells inside each one of us. This is how much God loved the world. He gave his Son, his one and only Son, and this is why, so that no one need be destroyed by believing in him, anyone can have whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his Son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust in him has long since been under the death sentence without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. So we have this ability now to understand, to come to a relationship with Jesus, to know that spirit that is within us, to be reborn every day, to be born anew into the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. This is where the kingdom of God is, in this law, in this ability for us to love and care for each other. The love is everything. And to be living in that, that is to be born again. So let's, as we go on in this Lenten time, let's think about what it is to be born anew. Maybe sometime when we're awake in the middle of the night, to go to God and say, "How can this all be true? How can we really be born anew? And how can that happen to us every day, right here and now, in this kingdom of God that we can live in?" Amen?